This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On Joy Now, Transpositions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I am Kurt, and I'm your host for this evening, and I'm joined by a very special guest, Ashley. How are you going, Ashley?
Good, thanks, Kurt. Nice to be here.
Awesome. It's really nice to have you here. Now, tonight, I'm really interested in getting to know you, Ashley, and your story and your transition, because you identify as a trans woman, just to put it simply. That's right.
Yeah.
And you play a bit of guitar, so
I do.
We're going to have you play some live guitar in the studio tonight, and possibly a bit of vocals.
Yes, I'm going to try and break through my anxiety and sing a little bit.
Awesome, so, that will be awesome. Well, we're all friends here, so we'll all make Ashley feel welcome, so that we can hear some of your awesome original music. Now, Ashley, will you tell us a little bit about yourself? So you've grown up in Melbourne.
No, I moved here from Canberra about 3 years ago.
Nice.
One of the reasons I moved to Melbourne was because of my transition and kind of struggling to freely express who I am there. Yeah. And just searching for a place which had a more accepting culture and heard good things about Melbourne, had some friends already living down here and thought, you know, why not take the leap and finally get out of a town that I never really had any love for.
Yeah, I've heard, I don't know, Canberra kind of has this stigma about it that it's really boring and really just everyone's a bit lemmings-like, the same.
Yeah, I've probably found that. I think I found it hard to express my uniqueness and sort of be proud of that in that sort of environment, and I felt it was a very boring town. I think that's why I probably got into a lot of things I shouldn't have, because there was just nothing else to do. Unless you sort of were in right in those sort of cliques or in sort of into sort of like little niche groups. If you were just traveling just in more of a normal, I guess, culture, just then it was a very boring place. And
Were there many communities down there, any queer communities or anything?
I think there was quite a large gay and lesbian community in Canberra. Trans wise, not so much. There is large enough to have two support groups while I was there. I think they've been amalgamated into one group now, Gender and Agenda. And it was just lucky that the one group that was there, one group that's now there, is just so fantastic. And they've sort of been a bit of a shining light, a bit of a role model group for other groups in Australia as well.
Nice, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, another group that you work with in Melbourne is Transgender Victoria, is that right?
Well, I'm just sort of starting to volunteer with Transgender Victoria.
Cool.
Most of my work is done with Y-Gender. I've been volunteering with Y-Gender for about 2 years now, and recently sort of with a friend, became co-presidents, sort of helped the group move into the next stage of its life. So I really enjoy doing a lot of diverse tasks with Y-Gender and helping that organisation sort of stay above water, because it's such an important thing to have a group that's solely for trans people you know, in a younger age group between the 18 and 30 is our sort of core age group, and that's the only youth-based gender-diverse group in Australia at the moment.
So. Yeah, nice. And Ashley, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 31, so 31. I'm over the age limit for my gender, but I'm just hanging around helping out.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. You actually look way younger than 31, and I think it's that trans youth thing again, you know.
Oh, the youth elixir.
The youth elixir. Yeah, nice. I actually thought you were going to be, you were going to say that you were part of that youth between 18 to 25.
So that's why I can get away with it.
It is. Yeah, you can totally get away with it. Now, how long have you sort of been out? You're out as transgender in most part of it.
Oh, yeah. In all parts of my life.
All parts of it, yeah. And how long's that been since?
4 years, I guess. Maybe 4 years since starting transition,
mm-hmm.
and maybe touch over 3 years actually since, you know, living every day in public, fully, you know, expressing myself how I choose to.
Nice, yeah. So it's sort of I found with my coming out. So for first time listeners, I'm a female to male trans man, and I came out sort of a year before I started hormones. So I sort of say, you know, 3 years ago I came out, but 2 years ago I started my hormones.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came out, I said, you know, I'm now Kurt and I am now he. And that was sort of the first thing that I did. Was that the first thing that you did, names and pronouns?
Not exactly. Sort of it was a... I lacked confidence in myself and just I think I was just generally a really anxious person. So it took me about 6 months on hormones, and sort of this is maybe a year and a bit into my transition that I felt comfortable sort of telling people, yeah, this is my identity, and make people who knew me as another name sort of correcting them on that and
educating them and letting them know how you identify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So you did it the other way to me.
Yeah, way around. And yeah, I
started hormones first and then sort of came out to the world.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's a common way of doing things, but yeah, I don't know. I felt like I needed it to be that way at the time.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, everyone is different and everyone will choose a different journey for themselves. Now, Ashley, I'm looking forward to you playing us a song coming up, and that's a song that you wrote yourself.
Yeah, I wrote it last night and I wrote the lyrics this morning. So it's a little unpracticed. I'm just crossing my fingers that I don't make any mistakes.
I'm sure it'll be fine. We're looking forward to it. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I have been talking to Ashley about her story as a trans woman in Melbourne, coming from Canberra, which I just found out. And Ashley, you're going to play an original song for us tonight. Has this song got a name?
It doesn't have a name. Sort of, I tend to write really happy, I don't know, catchy, boppy things.
Cool.
When I write lyrics, they're usually pretty dark. So there's that kind of contrast, and the lyrics for this song are kind of dark. It's kind of about thinking back to how I felt in that sort of year before deciding to transition. And just reflecting on that now.
Cool, awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, go ahead when you're ready.
Okay. Thank you.
strong, such a soul and so I can accept. No peace of mind in this place. Try, there's no one here can broken to express. Flown, flown away, but I'll never forget.
You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and that was Ashley, the wonderful Ashley Apple Crumble.
Oh, I think practicing a little bit might have helped.
That was fantastic. Well. That was really, really good. And I loved the way that you had a smile on your face. It looked like you were really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, I always love playing, and whether I'm making mistakes or not, I don't know, it's just...
It's fantastic.
I mean, yeah, it's really liberating to... just be able to play in public and sing in public from having a fear of my voice for so long.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And you're comfortable with your voice now?
Not really.
No, but
I listen to back to it sort of when I do. I recently did some Bent TV stuff, and
yep.
When I've had to film myself for my social work course, listening back to myself, it's like, oh my god, is that my voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't bother me in day to day life. So.
Oh well, yeah. I think you sound fantastic.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing that with us. You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. I'm not really sure where we're up to now. So I'm looking at Chris and he can't really tell me. Look, Ashley, I am interested in a bit more of your story, but I will just let everyone know that there is a trans health conference coming up, which is in Adelaide. Now, it's the third international ANZ PATH biennial conference, and it is apparently the most important conference ever held in the Southern Hemisphere, focused solely on the biopsychosocial needs of trans and gender diverse communities. So if you do want to go to Adelaide for this, it's between the 4th and the 6th of October. You can register at www.anzpath.org/events. And yeah, there's going to be a lot to see. If you go onto that website, you can download what's happening. And yeah, it's from the 4th to the 6th of October, and it will be big. I'm hoping to get a little bit of content for Transpositions for you to listen to about that, because it's very interesting, and we're lucky to be having it in Adelaide. You are on Joy 94.9 listening to Transpositions, and I'm Kurt, and if you've just tuned in, we have Ashley joining us in the studio, and Ashley's just played us an awesome live original song. And Ashley, I wanted to ask you what sort of, because you said those lyrics were sort of about you and how you used to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, what do you normally write songs about?
I don't usually write lyrics. I didn't feel that comfortable. I'm not very good at it. I'm not the kind of person that writes in a journal or ever did anything like that. So putting things into words is a lot harder for me. That's why I felt so comfortable playing the guitar, having an instrument there to talk for me. And I guess I'm happy I've been able to get my guitar playing to a point where I feel like I can express moods through it. And that's really cathartic for me. And
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you can sort of say things that you wouldn't, even if you did have all the words in the world, do you feel like you can say things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to say through your guitar? Is that what it's about for you? Is it for communication or is it more for enjoying the music?
It's like self-communication, I guess. It's probably getting emotions out of me and just putting them into a medium that I would struggle to sort of express in some other way. I don't know, like, you know, when I'm angry, like, you know, I guess more like, you know,
heavy metal.
Yeah, I love heavy metal music.
Yeah, cool.
I guess different styles of music, that sort of thing, but it's more the I don't really see it as actually like being able to express really intricate ideas. It's just emotions and
It is definitely what how long have you been playing the guitar for, can I ask?
Since I was 13, so it was 18 years.
Nice. And have you been singing for that long?
Probably all up. I've probably been singing for about 3-4 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't practice. I'll sing to myself in the shower. I'll sing along with some of my favourite bands. But, yeah, I don't sit down and practice with the guitar very often.
Now, we have got Megan in the studio joining us as well tonight. You guys have come as a pair.
Yes.
And now I wanted to sort of talk to you both about vocal exercises because as an FTM, that's something I don't have to do really. I could if I wanted to, but my voice is broken and that's where I want it to be and I'm happy with that. But for you two, it's a little bit different. You sort of, as a M2F, you can't unbreak your voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, that's exactly right. It's so hard to actually go and change your voice. There's so many different sort of aspects to speech that naturally when you're born male that you just sort of speak in a certain way. Your voice develops in a certain way, your voice breaks and all those types of things. But when you transition to female, the resonance is different, the way in which you colour your speech is different. There's all these different facets to the way in which we communicate, and it really is actually something that you have to think quite hard about, where you actually go and change your voice and the different things that you have to do to try and increase or strengthen your voice to actually achieve the higher pitches and those kinds of things. So there's a lot of work that you have to do with actually trying to change your voice. And at the moment, mine sounds absolutely shocking, but it's a work in progress.
And Ashley, did you find that with singing? Did you sing pre-hormones?
Just again, to, you know, along with music that I liked and sort of backup vocals and bands and stuff that I was playing in. And yeah, it still felt like I was not going to be able to change my voice when I first knew that I had to transition. It seemed impossible. And I started recording myself at a little recording studio and just listened back to myself. Like, this is horrible. There's nothing you can do. And I've never worked on it formally. It's just sort of gradually changed. I'm not going to say it's, you know, it's where I want it to be. I would be happy to go and do some like formal vocal training classes, but it seems to get me by, you know, in day-to-day life, and I don't get misgendered through it that often, very rarely, so that's good enough for me.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's sort of that's my main aim too, is to not get misgendered. just Kurt.
So jealous of you, Kurt. You just do it so easily, so natural for you. We have to work so much harder for it.
Oh, well, on the surface, I guess you do. But, yeah, it's so funny when FTMs and MTFs get together and we're just like, do you want to swap bits? And
yeah.
It's all opposite.
It would just make life that much easier.
It would.
Just swap and everyone's all happy.
Everyone's happy. Now, talking about vocals, what sort of vocal exercises do you have to actually do?
I remember looking up some things on the internet when I first started my transition and sort of sort of inflection exercises. So you always ending up in an upward inflection.
That was very nice.
You did that so well too, Ash.
I don't know. I tried to incorporate that, but it felt a bit fake. So I don't know how my inflections are now. But
that sounded good to me.
Well, it's like with me, I suppose I've actually been going to and sort of seeing some speech therapists through La Trobe University. They've actually got a communications program there, which is actually really good for trans women. So they actually take you through a whole suite of different exercises and things like that to try and work on your voice, to try and feminize the voice. I remember there's one exercise is called Stemples, which I'm not going to do here. It's a horrible thing to do, but there's certain exercises which strengthen the vocal folds in your throat and sort of raises the pitch and those kinds of things. So they're really good exercises to do. I think there's actually a number of different videos on YouTube as well with people actually doing Stemples exercises. So as I said, I'm not going to do it here, but if people wanted to go and Google Stemples and those kinds of things on the web, they can go and do that and they can find it and they can see how horrible actually does sound.
I'm going to when I get home.
Yeah, okay, go and do that. That'd be fine. But yeah, there's those kinds of exercises you can do. And there's other things as well which actually strengthen your breath support. That is when you're breathing and sort of speaking and actually working from your diaphragm. Instead of breathing from your chest, you breathe from your diaphragm and sort of project your voice that way. And there's all these other different exercises that you can do which sort of helps you change where the resonance point is in your throat. So instead of speaking from the chest, which most guys do, you try and raise the resonance. So you actually, the resonance comes more from the head. Other things such as, things such as non-verbal communication, how you go and work with, I can't see it here, I'm actually talking with my hands. But it's all those different types of things. Also the inflection, as Ash was saying, and those different types of things, a lot of different exercises. And they all sort of become a part of the overall communication that we actually all play as human beings ourselves.
Mm. Do they tell you to giggle a lot more as a female?
Kurt.
I'm being very stereotypical.
Look, from what I can recall, there's a number of different ways that males and females talk, and you know, you sort of look at how a male sort of communicates both verbally and non-verbally, and then there's a comparison between how a female will actually sort of natively speak, and also the way in which phrases and words and those kinds of things actually are put together.
Mm.
So there's lots of different ways in which these things do occur, and you sort of compare each other that way.
Mm.
But yeah, that's sort of been my experience so far.
Yeah, lovely. Oh, that's all really interesting.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting. I'm having moved through my transition and in the 4 years sort of being out, I've met so many different trans people now, and I guess most of my time spent around trans people, it doesn't seem like it's such a big deal anymore, the voice, and just it seemed like such a big thing at the start of my transition. And now, you know, that when I actually did meet other trans women and, you know, the voice didn't match their appearance, that was strange to me and I was confronting. But now for me, it's just like second nature and it doesn't seem to bother me at all. And then, you know, it's hard for me when people say, oh, I've got, you know, a huge problem with my voice. I'm like, oh, it sounds all right to me. But, you know, I've got to sort of understand their subjectivity and think,
Because when it's yourself, it's 10 times worse, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've got to remember back to 4 years ago and think, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we all got to come from somewhere,
I think it's very easy to be very self-conscious about, you know, about ourselves and where we are in our transition as well.
Mm.
I'm nowhere near as far as what Ash is in my transition, but you know, I think there's something which we always are very conscious of, because I believe there's this way in which we're perceived out in the public that, you know, we always want to be perceived as being our affirmed gender, and when we're not, and when there's something which doesn't let us, and I hate saying the word pass, but when there's something which doesn't let us pass, such as voice and those kinds of things, we do get quite self-conscious about it. Unfortunately,
it's just another stressor,
yep.
And you know, you can do with as few of those during transition as possible. Mm. And it's something you can control in some way or another. So
You can. You're right, Ashley. I think you can control it. Basically, when you walk out on the street, everyone is thinking about themselves. Nobody really cares what other people look like. It's all, you know, about themselves. And a lot of the time, someone being transgender doesn't even cross other people's minds. They don't even think that it's possible that you could be transgender.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting one.
Yeah.
You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And if you have just tuned in, I am Kurt and I'm your host. And I've got Ashley and Megan in the studio, two lovely trans women.
thank you.
And, oh, you're too sweet.
Now, we have been talking about voices and singing, and that song we just heard was from a band called Against Me, and it was actually called Transgender Dysphoria Blues. And so we were sort of talking during that song. The lead singer has come out as transgender, and they're transitioning mm-hmm. now. But I think that song was written before she decided she wanted to come out, I think.
Yes.
And it basically it draws a hard line between identity and ideology. What did you think, Megan?
The song was different.
Different, yeah.
Different, yes. I'm getting older these days. I don't know. But I did like it. But it's just a bit different, I think. But I think probably the message behind the whole lot is probably a bit more important, what's really going on. What it means to us as individuals, gender dysphoria.
Yeah, damn gender dysphoria.
Damn it.
Someone came up with a line the other day saying gender euphoria. I saw that. I like that one better.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
I think probably once you start to transition and start to figure things out, then it becomes euphoria.
It's euphoria.
Just like, wow, I actually start to feel normal again.
Yeah, yeah, or like a human being. Normal's the setting on a dryer, Megan. That's what we like to say.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, Ashley, before you were telling us that you were involved in Y Gender, which is gender diverse youth in Melbourne. And they're looking for committee members. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we're a youth and support and advocacy group. We're based primarily in Melbourne, but we do occasionally do sort of like regional. We had just had a regional tour where we travelled out to Warrnambool and out to another beautiful town. Was it Bendigo? Bendigo.
Bendigo's beautiful.
It is. Yeah, and we and sort of just work with some other queer groups out in those regional areas. And just, yeah, so we are based in Melbourne, but we have members from all over Australia.
Okay. And does Y Gender have has a website?
Yeah, it's www.ygender.com. So, yeah, we are looking for new committed members to try and, you know, help the group continue to do the fantastic work that it has over the past 4 or 5 years now.
Cool. So as a committee member, it's organising events and organising social events, is that right?
So, yeah, we run free social events here in Melbourne, in the city of Melbourne, each month. And so there's sort of all the admin to do with setting that up, the sort of opportunities to facilitate groups and learn those sorts of interaction skills. And we also sort of run larger projects, and they're creative projects or, you know, one-off events, as you know, as well as sort of or try and build resources that will be available to members of the youth gender diverse community.
Is the trans youth here, is it quite big? Are there many people involved in Y Gender?
I'd say at the moment we have maybe 30 to 40 active members.
Nice.
In terms of people who've made physical contact with Y Gender since I've been a member in the last couple of years, it's probably 3 or 4 times that number. So, yeah, there's quite a large member base out there. It's just trying to encourage the member base to get more involved, because it is a peer-led group, and yeah, just to really encourage people that to own this group. This is yours, and what you can shape how this group helps your community, and that's it's a really important thing to make sure the community you're a part of is strong and has a voice and has this representation.
That's right. Yeah. I find that is sort of the same with Joy. It's a nice community, and it is a place where you know, if you want to be on radio, you can do the Taste of Radio course, and you can learn about broadcasting on air and, you know, panelling and all sorts of things involved in radio. And it gives us a voice for our community, just like Y Gender does. It gives a social outlet, and it allows us to control our own communities and what's happening and the progression.
Yeah.
Megs, are you involved in any communities?
I suppose probably just really my sort of active sort of involvement at the moment is just probably some of the online sort of communities, those kinds of things. Prior to transition, I had my hobbies and those kinds of things, which I'm slowly rediscovering again and wanting to go back into sort of getting involved with. They're not actually a part of the LGBT community, but they're actually more of sort of general sort of community-based programs and things. And, yeah, I actually do want to get back into it. I was actually really good at a couple of different things. And, yeah, I'm starting to get the itch back again with sort of going back into some of my older hobbies and, yeah, throwing, not necessarily throwing myself into it, but for me, a big part of transition is sort of rediscovering and reaffirming things which are important to me and looking at and going and re-exploring those old pasts again and trying to make the most of them.
It's exciting being able to become who you truly are, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and be able to hold on to the things that you really enjoyed prior to transition. There were a couple of things that, you know, typically a male interests that, yeah, I'm really happy that I'm at a point now that I can proudly, you know, take part in those in those hobbies and enjoy them and do that without feeling any sort of shame or
you shouldn't have to feel shame.
It's, I know, but I was like, you know, I had so much so much anxiety and just I had this idealistic thing, like, yeah, just that's how it is to be a woman, and you can't do these things anymore. And slowly learning, like, where do these ideas come from? They're so unhealthy.
Like, they are. So. I was exactly like that when I first came out, first transitioning. I was as butch as possible, and men don't call people darling, and you know, anything like that. And now I'm so comfortable with myself that I let myself get excited and I do camp gestures, and that's fine, because who cares if someone thinks I'm gay? And, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, guys can be queer and it's not a big deal sort of thing. And I like to embrace that feminine side of me. It's in there somewhere.
Mm. It's very deep, isn't
it's very deep, yeah. but, you know, if I accidentally do a gay gesture or a hand flap, it's fine. You know, guys do that too, and I don't have to be stereotypically butch.
No.
Yeah, but I think we sort of all have felt that, Ashley. You know, early transition, I've got to be this person and this idea in my head of what a woman or a man is.
Yeah, and I just never met any other trans people growing up in Canberra. Besides my dad, I mean, mentioned that they're a trans woman as well, and they transitioned when I was quite young, but they weren't a good role model for me, so I won't sort of use them as an example. But yeah, I sort of met other trans people when I was 27, 28, when I first stepped into support groups in Canberra, and there was no one my age. The next youngest person would have been 20 years older than me. So then the older ladies there in Canberra, they were sort of very traditionally female. Traditional
very
role.
Binary.
Very binary. Yeah. And so, yeah, I thought that was no choice. That's what I had to do. And I thought, well, I'd rather live that way than the way I'm living at the moment, so I'll just do that.
That's interesting. How do you feel about that, mate?
Well, it's like for me, like I didn't really meet any trans people or trans women or trans men until like I well started into my transition and started going to a couple of different venues where I started to meet people like me who were actually transitioning. For them, it was different. Obviously, some people sort of fit one particular sort of part of the community. And for me, I always did consider myself as being transgender, and started meeting some people through there, and started to build a friendship group who really became my key support, and they're people that I can talk to about different types of things. And yeah, it's just like prior to transition, I didn't know anyone at all. Mm. It's basically you have to get out there and start to build that social network of people to talk to.
Interesting. I actually used the internet for a lot of that when I was first getting into knowing about trans things. But that's a whole nother story. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. If you have just joined, we are at the end of the program, so you will have to jump on the Joy website for the podcast once Andrea has put it up. And thank you, Andrea, for all the podcasts you've been doing. Now, Megzy and Ashley, we were just talking about how before we sort of knew or came out as transgender ourselves, we sort of didn't know anyone else mm-hmm. who was trans. And mm-hmm. I remember actually sort of not really knowing it was a thing that you could actually live an authentic life as a transgender person.
Yeah. It's like I always knew, but I didn't quite know. And it's like trying to find that support of places to go to and sort of people to talk to and trying to figure out and just get a mental check as to where you're at, and obviously also researching the right professional support as well in terms of medical support. That's also really important, that, you know, for me to start to figure out for me whether this is right or not, and then obviously everything going from there.
You're actually meeting people, you know, in person and hearing their stories and getting their advice from them in the first person. That really was the main driver for me, the thing that really, really helped the most. And I'm just so happy to have sort of found such a beautiful community here in Melbourne.
It is a beautiful community.
Well, I was just going to say one thing is, like, for me, I wish I knew of a support group like Y Gender or something like that when I was like 20 or 21 or something like that. My life would be very different. Yeah, so I would have liked to have known about those kinds of organisations. So, you know, if there's people out there thinking about doing something with Y Gender, highly encourage them, really. I wish I knew about it back then. But that's a long time ago.
Same, so do I. You guys are lucky to have it now, all you young people. Ygender.com.au?
No, just .com.
Just .com, okay. And it is good to talk about things, get things off your chest. And if you need someone to talk to, 24 hours, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard are available. You can call, if you're in Melbourne, 03-9663-2939, or you can go to switchboard.org.au. Now, as I mentioned before, we will be having our podcasts put up on the Joy website, joy.org.au, and Andrea does those. Thank you, Andrea. Now, next week, Megs, I've got you coming back in.
Yes, we are.
And you've got an interesting week next Monday.
Yes.
And we want you to tell us all about it on Tuesday night.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'll let any go. I don't think I'll let any secrets go right now, but. Yes.
Be listening.
Be listening.
Excellent.
On Tuesday, yes.
Thanks for coming in tonight, you two. And thank you, Chris, on panel. It's been a great show. You are on Joy 94.9.
Bye. Bye. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You've been listening to Transpositions. We love your feedback. And if you want to share your own story, email us during the week. transpositions@joy.org.au or contact us via social media. You'll find all the links at joy.org.au/transpositions. Thank you for listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.